This morning's reading is from Numbers 35, verses 9 through 34. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye be over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee thither, which killeth any person unawares. And they shall be unto you cities of refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And these cities which ye shall give, six cities ye shall have for refuge. Ye shall have three cities on the side of Jordan, and three cities you shall give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These six cities shall be a refuge both for the children of Israel and for the stranger and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that killeth any person unawares may flee thither. And if he smite him with an instrument of iron so that he die, he is a murderer. The murderer shall surely be put to death. And if he smite him with throwing a stone wherewith he may die, and he die, he is a murderer, and shall be surely put to death. Or if he smite him with a hand of a weapon of wood, wherewith he may die, he die, he is a murderer, and the murderer shall surely be put to death. The revenger of blood himself shall slay the murderer, and when he meeteth him, he shall slay him. But if he thrust him hatred or hurl at him by laying in wait, then he shall die. Or in enmity smite him with his hand, that he die, that he smote him with, he shall surely be put to death, for he is a murderer. The revenger of blood shall slay the murderer, and he, when he meeteth him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, or seeing him not cast it upon him, that he die, and was not his enemy nor sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and he shall abide in it until the death of the high priest, which was anointed with the holy oil. But if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he has fled, and the avenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and revenger of blood to kill, the revenger of blood kill the slayer, and he shall not be guilty of the blood, because he should have remained in the city of his refuge until the death of the high priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. So these things shall be for the statute of judgment unto you throughout your generations and in all your dwellings. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, he shall take no satisfaction for the life of the murderer, which is guilty of the death. But he shall be surely put to death, and he shall take no satisfaction for him that is fled to the city of refuge, that he should come again and dwell in the land until his death of the until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for the blood it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. You may be seated.
Good morning. I appreciate Brother Gary reading that for us. Interesting. As he previewed that reading, he said to me before services this morning, I'm interested to see how you're going to get a lesson out of this, how your sermon's going to be. It's probably not what you think. Although there's a lot of different ways you could probably go with this. One of the things that's interesting to me is that the blood would defile the land is because the blood defiles the land because they didn't go by what God wanted them to do. Blood was going to be spilled on the land if it was justified. And I think that's kind of an important aspect of this whole thing. There's a lot of ways you could take this particular reading, but I've entitled this lesson, Avenger and Redeemer. And I think you'll see why here. Hopefully you'll see why. Hopefully it meets your expectation. But I, more importantly, I want it to meet God's expectation. So God was speaking to Moses when he divided up the land of Canaan. The redeemed nation of Israel, when they got on the other side of the Jordan, they were going to take the land of Canaan. That was the land that was promised to them by God. And there were certain cities that we didn't read about, but there were certain cities also in that land that were going to be designated for the Levites. These were the cities for the Levites to be inhabit. And that was based on the size of the tribe. So I think it's interesting that the whole thing that God does here in Numbers 35 is something that man could not do, because there would be a lot of dispute, and we see that today. There'd be a lot of dispute about the land. There'd be a lot of dispute about what's justice, and there's a lot of dispute about how crime is to be handled, how murder is to be handled, and that sort of thing. So God set it up for them. And so that's an important aspect of this whole picture of Numbers 35, is that these are the mandates that God set for them. So the rest of the chapter is reserved for what he calls the six cities of refuge. They were what you might say sanctuary cities. And I won't get into that, but they might be what you'd say sanctuary cities. Numbers 35, 6 says, "Now among the cities which you will give to the Levites, you shall appoint six cities of refuge to which a manslayer may flee." So when he put this together, you think about this, he's going to appoint six cities that are cities of refuge. They are getting this instruction before they get into the land of Canaan, but it's going to happen. So part of the six cities of refuge, three were going to be on one side of the Jordan, three were going to be on the other side. And the reason that is because they're spaced out, so it gives people an opportunity before they're judged to get into that city so that they can get due process. And that was for whether they were a stranger or an Israelite. I think there's something else that I included in this I don't have in my notes, and I'm not going to be able to remember what that was, so I'm just going to keep on going. Verses 9 through 15, he outlines the purpose of these cities. They were places of safety in the event someone kills someone else accidentally. Accidentally, something happens. And they kill someone. So at the time of this instruction, I think it's important for us to recognize that they were observing Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. It says, this is God again speaking, "Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man." So that one that would seek out justice is called the Avenger. Does anyone know, and I think you might have heard that from the reading, who would that Avenger, who would be, what relationship would he have in this whole circumstance? Anybody know? The Avenger. What relationship would he have? How do they select an avenger?
Would he be like an executioner?
He's an executioner. How would they select the executioner? It's not like it's done today, but how did they do it back then? Well, if I had a cousin that was murdered by someone, I'm the next of kin of that cousin. And that's how it was selected. The next of kin was the one that was determined to be the avenger. So it was his responsibility to mete out God's justice. The avenger is the next of kin. So what we did read from that, which is interesting to me, let's say that this man kills someone. Maybe he's trying to get to the city of refuge. Maybe he doesn't know where he's going. Maybe he's a stranger in the land. Maybe he doesn't know where the city is. But I think that they probably did. But say he's on that way, it would seem plausible to me that the avenger, once he finds out about the killing, that he's going to be looking for that person. And if they don't reach that city in time, logically speaking, and it was in our reading, he could kill that person. Either way, whether he was accidentally killed someone or he was an actual murderer. So it was important for the person who was a manslayer to get to that city of refuge, that city of safety. It was a matter of life and death. And then, of course, he was there and he got due process. If it was an accident, it would be brought before the congregation. They would determine whether it was an accident or not. If it was a murder, then two witnesses, and I think I got this later on in my notes, at least two witnesses had to say, yes, he's guilty of murder. If it was an accident, he would have to stay into that city. Or both would. I mean, you know, just because it was a city of refuge, I think this is an important part, that does not eliminate justice, nor does it eliminate judgment. So, but if it was an accident, if he's cleared, he still has to stay until the priest of that city dies. These are the mandates of God. Otherwise, the land which God dwells in will be defiled. Because they didn't follow God's mandates. So that brings us to something that's significant for the avenger. He also has an important role in keeping the land from being defiled. He has to carry out and mete out God's justice. It has to be done. He must be the one to avenge the death. Okay. This really correlates, I think, a great deal. The avenger and redeemer really correlates with what God and what Jesus will do in that great day of judgment. Because Jesus is the avenger. He's the ultimate avenger. And he's the ultimate redeemer. John chapter 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. I think it's never been more clear to me about what his role is as avenger than what is read in the symbolic language in Revelation chapter 19. Now, trying to put all this together, don't worry about that. But listen to what it says. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. These are distinguishing characteristics of our Lord. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no way from that description that we can think that would be talking about anyone else but Jesus. No way. The striking of these nations is what John is witness to that was going to happen. The striking of these nations was against those who truly oppressed Christianity. Their mantra was, despite the fact that they had this religious garb on the outside of everything that they did, despite that, and despite the fact that they worshiped a false god, a god that they had envisioned that fit their narrative, despite all that, these are the ones that said, there is no God. And it comes from, the answer of this comes from Revelation chapter 6, verse 10. The people crying out, and they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? The psalmist writes, the fool says in his heart that there is no God. That's exactly how they were living, and that's how they were oppressing people of Christianity. And I think and I believe, I don't think, I know that God will take care of nations that push him out. And that's what happened. These things happen. These things have already come about. It's a symbolic message. And it tells us, which is important for us today, that Jesus is both avenger and redeemer. Does God ever change? Has he ever changed? Ever changed? Some say, well, he's changed his mind. He based what he did on what people did. Their actions, whether they repented or whether they did not. But he has not changed. And suffice to say that Jesus himself has not changed. He is still the same. So there is no reason ever to believe that his purpose has changed. He will always be, until the day of judgment, the avenger and the redeemer. The shedding of blood was really important for justification and redemption. And it, you know, even for justice, it was important to God. It was significant in his eyes. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. When the avenger takes the life of the murderer who has intentionally killed someone else, it's justified. His blood for justice is required. I think that's important for us because we're in the hands of either the avenger or the redeemer. In Numbers 35, part of the process also included the need to investigate to determine whether there's an offense that's worthy of capital punishment. When someone accidentally killed someone else, they still have due process. They still have a trial to figure out before the congregation. They're given a fair trial. God also outlines in Numbers 35, as Brother Gary read to us, the various means in which people are considered and deemed a murderer, the things that they may have done. But they're still given the opportunity to get into the city of refuge so that they also can be have a fair trial. And they have to be convicted by two witnesses, at least two witnesses. If they are convicted, then of course the avenger carries it out. So I have kind of designed this message with the idea and the concept in mind that the shedding of blood in both instances corresponds with justice and redemption. So one thing you may not know, and I didn't know this either. The avenger, most often, is actually the word avenger, the Hebrew word, is most often translated just about everywhere, as except for here, as redeemer. I don't think that's a mistake. I don't think by chance that was done that way. I think it's done that way so that we kind of grasp the concept early on in the scripture that God is and does have dual roles. Now, of course, he's given all judgment to Jesus, but he has dual roles, avenger and redeemer. Now, there are many people who would argue the point from Numbers 35 that there are different rules now for a civil society. I personally believe, this is my personal opinion, you do not have to agree with it, but my personal opinion is that the rules that God has outlined here is the mark of a civil society. We can see in our own society how a relaxed attitude has changed the landscape in which we live. And that's not what God intended. But that's not what I want to talk about or finish this about. This is a rather short lesson, actually. I don't want to make that the point of discussion. Maybe that's something we can do in a Bible class. I would rather focus in on with knowing that God has given his Son all authority, all judgment as the avenger and redeemer. I would rather focus on whether or not we are in that biblical city of refuge as a Christian. That's a city of redemption, a place of redemption. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. To me, that we know the story of Jesus going to the cross, we know the story of Jesus being crucified, we know the story of his perfection in life before he was crucified, we know the things that he did while he was on the earth. We know that he was righteous in everything that he did. We know what he tried to do to prevent people from going to Hades, going to hell. We know what he did. We know that he gave up heaven. We know that he put his life out there to be crucified, to die for our sin. We know he did all that. We know he was buried. We know he was resurrected. To me, that gives him the right to be the avenger and to be the redeemer, because we were enemies of his because of our sin. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. You know, that refutes the idea that once you're saved, you're always saved. If you stay in it, you're going to be okay. If you don't, you got problems. Through Christ, we are looking for that city of refuge. And that city of refuge is governed just as the city of refuge were set up, is governed from above. It's a spiritual city. It's not determined by something that's geographical. It's not determined by something you can plot on your GPS. If you can, I'd like to see that. That'd be awesome. It's not determined by that. It's a city not made with hands, but made with the spiritual power of God. And I want to highlight this because this is important. If we are outside of that city, we can fall into the hands of the avenger. So we're looking forward to that place. I am. I'm looking forward to that place. I've thought more and more about it. You know, as much as we want sometimes things to stay the same, they really don't. They do not. You just don't survive this life in this body. You don't. It gets weak, it gets tired, it gets sick, and then you die. Things just don't stay the same. So there has to be something that you look forward to, that you can grasp in your mind, that your soul can be unified with the life that you have now, and looking forward to that city, a time where we'll be redeemed. Colossians again, chapter 2. In him you were also circumcised with circumcision, made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. This is a life and death thing that he's talking about right here. It's life and death. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. That's talking about the old law, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. This is a city of which we can now enter, and we can only enter that through baptism. It's the only way, and it is a matter of life and death, and it is important to stay committed to be in that city. Outside of that city, the avenger can claim us. Again, chapter 22 of Revelation 12, verse 12 and 13. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is something that tells me that he has always been. So the message for today is to be prepared. And I'll end it with this way. There were 5 wise virgins. There were 10 altogether, but 5 wise virgins. They were prepared to meet. And Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. They were prepared to meet the bridegroom. The 5 foolish virgins thought they were prepared, but in reality, they took no action for their own salvation. None. But they had the same opportunity. They had the same ability. They heard the same message. But they did not have faith. The faith that they needed. The bridegroom was delayed. Yet, here's my picture of the five wise virgins. They had their lamp so that they could see, full of oil and burning. They were prepared to meet the bridegroom at any time that he came. I'm ready for him. They knew that he was the Redeemer. They had, as they slept, one hand on the handle of their lamp, and the other hand was holding the reserve of oil that they would need to keep that lamp burning, so that when he came, they were ready. The five foolish virgins did neither. Their lamps went out. When their lamps went out, they realized it was too late, and they wanted someone else to work out their salvation for them. I think, in my mind, that happens a lot today. Someone else do it for me. So in reality, they became spectators rather than participants. When the five could not help them, the five wise virgins, because they came to him and said, "Hey, we're in trouble, we need help." When they could not help them, the foolish ones left, now that it was too late to try to help themselves. And while they were gone, the Redeemer came and took those who were prepared. But for the five foolish virgins, he closed the door, and it could never be opened again. And they met the rightful and just avenger, because the door was shut forever and ever. And unfortunately, I think that's a circumstance for a lot of people that think they're prepared. The five virgins that were prepared probably could sing this song. I'm not going to sing it. And I couldn't find it in the songbook. And maybe it's not titled right. I don't know. I am going to a city where the streets with gold are laid. You ever heard this song? Where the tree of life is blooming. Somebody find that in the songbook for me. And the roses never fade. Here they bloom but for a season. Soon their beauty is decayed. I am going to a city where the roses never fade. I wish my rose bushes would last year round. I don't know how they look pretty cool in the wintertime, I think, with the snow around them. But they don't. In fact, we can just barely keep them alive during the time they should be alive. But roses, my favorite. Rose bushes, I don't care what color they are. In this world we have our troubles, Satan's snares we must evade. We'll be free from all temptations. If there's one thing that I look forward to in heaven, is to be free from all temptations. Because as long as you're on this earth, well, at least for me, and even the older I get, I still have a lot of temptations. I'll be glad when they're gone. I don't know about you. Where the roses never fade. So, as much as we would like things to stay the same, they just don't. Things change. They just change. This life was never intended to be forever and ever. But there's a city of refuge for all of us. The question is, are we in that city? Are we on that road to that city? If we're not on that road to that city, then we need to be looking out for the avenger. If you have not been baptized, don't wait. Don't wait. Do that today. or at least acknowledge that you need to do it. And we'll make that happen. One of the scariest verses in the Bible, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. If you are already a citizen of the kingdom of God, but need prayer for whatever reason that you may need it, well, we certainly want to help you. We certainly want to pray for you. We certainly want to lift our voice to God to help you. Whatever we can do today to help you, to assist you, we want to do that while we stand and while we sing our invitation song. 927.